This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kaysen. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kaysen.
Good.
Ah!
I just wrecked my...
you wrecked
my
your intro.
Speaker, I can't hear.
Oh, really?
Why does that happen all the time?
I don't know, right. But I can hear you perfectly.
I can't hear a thing.
That's
but
okay.
I'm going to say good afternoon anyway. Kerry, take it over. Let me fix this.
Here. All right, Dino can go in. Yeah, you're listening to Gervy's Law. That was
We're not
Alan
going on
Gervy.
A break.
I'm Kerry Kaysen. No, we're not breaking at all. In fact, we're going on with an amazing show today. Very excited about today because we have two lawyers. Like we, most of the time we have lawyers, not all the time. We've had actors, we've had authors, we've had directors. We do a lot of documentary stuff, but today, two very special guests. One used to be, and this is a tease, a criminal.
All right.
A bank robber.
No, you're ruining it. I did not ruin it at all.
Dino saved
the day. I can hear myself, and I'm going to start this over again. I am Alan Gervy, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here, right here at KBC Studios, to be the managing partner of your life. And that was Kerry Kaysen.
You crack me up.
It's what I'm here to do. Is crack
you can do radio without your headphones.
I can't do radio without my headphones. I have to hear myself because I love hearing myself talk. If I can't hear myself talk, I'm not doing radio. Dino, thank you so much. He fixed me. I'm good. Let's talk about what you teased. You're such a tease, Kerry. I look at you. I look in your eyes.
That's me. That's me.
Yeah, I can't
always.
Believe it. How come your skin looks so beautiful?
Oh my gosh, thank you. I just had it. Are you watching
I'm just sucking up to you.
Okay, because I actually had this like laser done yesterday.
Did you watch it? I saw.
Yeah, I put it up all over my Instagram and my Facebook. I put up my Botox, my fillers, my lasers, everything. You can't look 45. You're not 45. You can't look like this without all that stuff. I'm telling you.
So you look good? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I think I look pretty good for 45
years old.
If you're
listening and you haven't seen Kerry Kaysen, go check her out. Google her. Go to our Facebook page or go to gervyslaw.com. Check out this wonderfully beautiful woman.
Thank you.
How old are you?
45.
No way. You look like you're 23 years old.
I wish.
You know, I got to tell you, you did tease about lawyers. People say that lawyers aren't interesting. People say lawyers don't have much in the way of a background. They're just boring people who are sucking your money and taking everything you have. And, you know, we hear so many bad things about lawyers. But lawyers, not all of them, most of them, I say 95% of the lawyers I deal with are really boring and I can't stand them. But there's like 5% of lawyers who are so interesting. And I tell you, they have so much that they've done in their past. And that's what we're going to talk about, interesting lawyers. I don't know if you knew it, but I'm one of the few lawyers. I don't know how many lawyers there are, but I was, in fact, an exotic dancer when I was younger. I worked on the Princess Cruise ships as a dancer, and I took off my clothes. I'm famous for one thing. I bet you don't know what it is.
Well, besides the Oprah interview?
Well, I did Oprah, and I did Dr. Phil, Love Connection, Dating Game. I've been on all of those shows. I was just making the circuit, but when I was an exotic dancer, I was unique because I juggled my shoes. I'm the only stripper I know that juggled his
shoes.
You
were not. The cruise ships do not have exotic dancers on them.
Boom, boom, boom. Let's go back to my room. We could do it all night. I can make you feel right. It was Paul Lukakis. That was my theme song. Came out. I got, in those days, dollar bills. Today, if I did it, I'm sure it would be fives or tens. But they put them in my G-string. It was Naughty Nighty Night.
I don't believe anything that's coming out of your mouth right now.
It's absolutely true. I have a video. I will post the video if I can figure out how to...
Alan, we've been doing this show for almost 5 years, you and I. I have never heard that story. Did you just wake up and decide to tell it?
You know, the irony is that when I was on the ship, all these women would approach me. I was the DJ on the ship.
Okay.
And I'd be spinning the records. I'd mix it. I'd be, you know, doing all the beats and everything. And I would come up and they'd come up to me and they'd say, oh, yeah, you're so cool. You're so cool. And I'd say, well, actually, I'm in law school and I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm really a lawyer. I'm not a DJ. I'm not an exotic dancer as you're seeing tonight. And they were so disappointed. They're saying, you're a lawyer? Oh, we thought you were a DJ. We thought you were a stripper. We're not interested.
Wait, I'm in shock here.
That's
you can see
story.
That. You
That's
can see the
story.
Shock on my face. You can probably hear it in my voice. I mean, if somebody was a DJ and they told me they were just getting their way through law school, that would turn me on.
No, it did not turn the women off.
Yeah, maybe they were like 17 or 18.
They were so I learned after that not to tell them about law school, not to tell them that I was going to be a lawyer, but just to go with the flow and do the stripping and juggle the shoes and do all that stuff. Anyway, let's turn to someone else right now. And as you said, we have two people that are on the show that have more interesting backgrounds than me. Later in the show, you do not want to miss it. For those of you who are Parker Lewis Can't Lose fans, were you a fan of Parker Lewis? It was like 1990. I love that show.
No, I definitely saw it. It wasn't one of my like go-to shows, but of course I sorry. We'll tell you why later.
Jerry Steiner's sitting right
there
next
we go.
To you.
Yeah, but
Troy
of
Slayton.
Course I know the show.
Troy
yeah.
Slayton was a child actor on that show, and he was also on Cagney and Lacey when he was a little kid. We're going to join Ooh. Troy a little bit later. He is now a top-notch criminal defense attorney from Parker Lewis to criminal defense attorneys, and he's also a media analyst. You see him all over the media yeah. on everything, Fox Business, CNN, Nancy Grace, everywhere. We're going to talk to Troy about his past as a child actor and his present as a preeminent defense criminal defense lawyer. Before we get to Troy, we really are privileged because this is a story. It's an awesome story. It's an amazing story. It's been featured in the New York Times, Washington Post, NPR, and every other media outlet, 60 Minutes. This guy is incredible. Sean Hopwood is an associate professor of law at Georgetown University Law Center. It's one of the finest law schools in the country. And Sean, wait a second, Dino's got his thumb up. You're looking at my stripper video? That's what I thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's looking at it. It's online. Oh. So Sean served 10 years in federal prison, bank robberies, armed robberies, 5 of them. And then he became a lawyer and a professor. And he was a jailhouse lawyer. He incredibly won a couple of petitions, cert petitions. Petitions for certiorari, writs to the Supreme Court for them to review lower court decisions, for those of you who don't know what the cert petition is. And we are privileged right now to have a professor of law who's also served time in federal prison, Sean Hopwood. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How was that for an introduction?
Well, it's hard to beat the stripping.
No,
oh,
yeah.
Well, wait a second, Sean. I'm not going to ask you because I know you've been reluctant to talk about what went on in prison those 10 years, but I'm sure you have some stories.
Oh, do I?
please feel free to share. Yeah. But before we get to those stories, it's really an intriguing story. And you have done such great work for prisoners' rights, for criminal procedure, constitutional rights of prisoners, and other criminal law related issues. How did you make this transition from the prison to lawyering?
Well, I had a lot of help. A lot of people that, for whatever reason, when there wasn't much in it for them, they gave me second chances and opportunities and became friends with me and mentored me. And that was really the difference.
So when we go back in time, you're in Nebraska. You're, a 21-year-old kid, kind of bored with everything going on, and someone asks you to go rob a bank, and you say, yeah, why not? Sounds like a good idea. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I know. And that sounds just ludicrous today. But when I was 21, I was like a lot of young 21-year-old men, which was I didn't really weigh out the consequences of my actions to myself. So I obviously wasn't thinking about the consequences of my actions on anybody else. And, I was young and reckless and foolish. And me and my friends started robbing these banks, and the more money we got, the more we partied. And then it all came crashing down.
How did you get caught?
I got tackled in a Embassy Suites hotel in downtown Omaha, Nebraska by about 5 FBI agents.
Wow.
You were tackled?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then
they searched my car, and, you know, if you're a criminal defense lawyer, these are bad facts. Searched my car and found guns, a scanner, math, and $140,000 in money that was directly traceable to the last bank.
Well, wait a second.
Leave a lot of room for a defense.
No.
You know, everything that I've read about you said you're a brilliant guy. That doesn't sound so brilliant. It sounds like that television show, Dumb Criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, most people that commit crimes aren't thinking rationally. If they were, they wouldn't be doing it.
Were you doing drugs prior to that, or was that just like kind of you got into it because of it?
I really started doing drugs afterwards, after the first robbery, to forget about the bad things I had done. You know, I grew up with, you know, a good family, so it's not like I didn't know this was wrong, and it's not like it didn't bother me.
I'm talking over you because there's a delay.
He's talking about the downward spiral.
That's what I heard. I apologize.
Downward spiral of drugs and depression and stupidity, and I just couldn't see my way out of it. And I knew we were going to get caught someday. There was no doubt that that was going to happen.
Well, it almost sounds like you prepared for it, you know, with the car full of all of that stuff. And then, you know, you go to prison, and did you find that there were people just like you in prison who maybe had lost their way and didn't realize what the consequences were going to be?
I saw a lot of young men that were immature and reckless and young and stupid. And after about, you know, a few years, they grew out of it a lot like I did. You know, when I went to prison, I was like everyone else. I thought prison was where the evil people went. And then I got there and realized it wasn't evil people. It was just people, many of whom were doing things like selling drugs because that's all anyone in their neighborhood has ever done, and that's what their family had done.
Sean, I was going to say, yep, we have to take a quick break. What I want to talk about when we get back after the break is what happened in prison and how you were able to get so interested in the law and to help prisoners with their cases. So we're going to talk about that when we come back with Sean Hopwood. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is, if a highway splits, it's a fork in the road, then wouldn't the long straight stretch be a knife in the road? And then, wouldn't a cul-de-sac be a spoon in the road? What would a spork be?
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Right now at the Home Depot, get 15% off a wide range of select special order windows and doors. The latest styles in windows, entry and interior doors, even storm and patio doors. Now you and your home don't have to wait for an upgrade. With 15% off a selection this big, this is the opening you've been waiting for. Come in now for select windows and doors. 15% off, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more do it. Valid through April 11th. See store for details. Right now at the Home Depot, get 15% off a wide range of select special order windows and doors. The latest styles in windows, entry and interior doors, even storm and patio doors. Now you and your home don't have to wait for an upgrade. With 15% off a selection this big, this is the opening you've been waiting for. Come in now for select windows and doors. 15% off, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more do it. Valid through April 11th. See store for details.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 4848 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 4848.
News.
Talk. Evolve 790 KABC.
Everybody knows that.
Welcome back to Gerby's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back. Little Jailhouse Rock. Wonder why we're playing that. We're talking to Sean Hopwood. Sean is Associate Professor of Law at Georgetown University Law Center. Again, it sounds very cool. He's a professor of law. We think that's like a boring professor, but Sean is anything but a boring professor. His life is incredible. In fact, he wrote a co-wrote a book called Lawman, My Story of Robbing Banks, Winning Supreme Cases, and Finding Redemption. He was in prison for approximately 10 years. And while in prison, Sean, you obviously became friends with a lot of prisoners and you helped them out. You started writing petitions, cert petitions, trying to get some of their cases heard by the Supreme Court. And you were successful on, what, two of them?
Yeah. The first one was, I think, the second legal brief I had ever prepared. And, you know, I didn't know a great deal about the law, even when I went through the system and had been prosecuted. And when I got into the law library in prison, I joked that I didn't know a right in the Bill of Rights. but I found the subject matter very interesting, and I dove in. And then I started writing briefs for other prisoners. And
let's get this clear. You had not gone to law school. You were not a lawyer at the time. You were just another fellow prisoner.
I was a high school graduate who had not taken freshman year English.
Wow.
Wait, how did you do well in school, in elementary and high school? Did you do well?
Absolutely not. Was a solid C student all the way through.
Wow.
Wow. That's amazing. Has anybody optioned your book for a movie?
I'm working with Sony Television.
Yeah, you're a movie. You're walking. Your whole story is a film.
So have they done anything with it? Can we expect to see the story coming out either in cable or film or anything like that?
Well, that's the hope, but you know that's a long process. So we're at the beginning of it.
We're in Hollywood, and
I'm hopeful.
I want to let you know that we have a lot of the attorneys on and the agents on our show. So if you need any help, we're here for you. We'll facilitate any deal that needs to be done.
As long as Alan gets his producer credit.
You know, you were a Bill Gates scholar at University of Washington Law School. Tell us how that came about so that you got a full ride after you got out of prison, went to law school.
Yeah, so I worked at a place in Omaha, Nebraska that helped lawyers all over the country file briefs to the U.S. Supreme Court. And when the New York Times wrote a story, one of our best clients, who's a guy by the name of Professor Eric Schnapper from the University of Washington, called and said, Sean, you should really apply to UW and apply for this Gates Service Program because it would pay for your entire law school. And so I did, and I was accepted, and I was flown out there and interviewed with 20 other people, and I was one of the five people they chose for this very prestigious scholarship, which was great because I had only been out of prison for 2 years. I had a wife and a son and another baby on the way, and I didn't have a dime to go to law school. And as both of you know, law schools are incredibly expensive.
Yes. And so that was nice of the Gates folks to provide those scholarships. I can only imagine when you got out of law school, when you were interviewing for jobs, what do you do? Do you tell people your past? You know, when you went to, for instance, Georgetown, did they have any problem or was it something that they embraced?
Georgetown never had an issue with it. But it's interesting, the interviews I did coming out of law school, I had to tell my background, but who I was telling was a group of federal judges because I had applied for a federal clerkship kind of all over the place and had been doing interviews with federal judges when Judge Janice Rogers Brown of the D.C. Circuit hired me.
And I'm sure it was interesting for them because you had a completely different perspective. For those that were hearing cases of the from some of the convicts, you were one of them. You could give the justices a little inside information.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was part of it. I think they were also intrigued by the fact that someone had kind of accomplished the pinnacle of the profession, getting cert petitions granted by the Supreme Court, and had done it long before I went to law school. And that intrigued them.
You know, that's such a difficult thing. And we've had a lot of professors on this show, a lot of attorneys who talk about cert petitions. How did you do it? Was there any key? You know, I understand when you wrote them in prison, what you were using a typewriter or something like that. Obviously, you didn't have the legalese and the knowledge and the experience that other attorneys do, but you got them granted. What was the key?
I just think explaining the legal issues in a way that's very easy to understand. The fact that I hadn't been trained to use legalese in law school probably helped me.
Right. Do you think the Supreme Sean, do you think the Supreme Court knew when you wrote these petitions that you weren't a lawyer and you were a prisoner?
Oh, of course they knew. For the first hint would have been the fact that they were filed and on the front cover there was no lawyer listed. It was the prisoner's name.
A number.
Doesn't it have to come with that?
Yeah. Out on a typewriter.
What did your wife, I have to go back there, before you became an attorney, before you got the, you know, this prestigious job and you're a professor, and how did you get your wife? Like, how do you get your wife?
Yeah, you looked at
I'm a
Sean's
bank robber. I've been out of jail for 10 years. No, he's a good looking guy.
He's a really good looking guy.
He's a good looking guy. But that's not the point. You're out of jail.
Not nearly as good looking as my wife.
good answer.
Yeah, good. So what happened? How did you get her? And then it's very interesting to me.
So Annie grew up in the same hometown as me. She went to the Catholic high school. I went to the public high school. We knew each other, but not well. My mom worked for her dad. She became friends with my mom and asked, hey, where's Sean? Because after high school, we went our separate ways. And my mom said, well, Sean's in federal prison for robbing a bunch of banks. And for some reason, my wife just felt empathy and wrote me a letter. And one letter turned into 300 letters and phone calls and visits. And we just became good friends.
Wow.
And then when I got out, you know, no one expected me to go to law school. So when she says, yes, marry me, I'm working at Cockle Printing making $12.50 an hour. And the thought that I'm going to go on to law school is a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she must be so proud of you. Your whole family. Like, you turned your life around in such an incredible way.
Well, she's the reason why a lot of it happened.
Yeah, you know?
Awesome.
Always having
she
a good...
She drove me... I get out in 2008, 2009. Remember, that's the height of the recession.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one's finding work, let alone the guy that just did 11 years in federal prison. She drives me around to all these interviews, and I'm telling you, it was rejection. One in particular where I was talking to a manager at a used car dealership, and he says, Sean, you've got like a 10-year resume gap here. And I said, well, that's because I just got out of prison. And he said, let's take a walk. And he walks me outside of the dealership, and he says, Mr. Hopwood, please don't come back here. Mm. And I realized, like, the ethical bar for used car dealers is not high.
No,
I might not be able to find a job anywhere.
That's a good point.
Do you ever go back there? Just walk in there?
Walk in there and say, yeah, you remember that guy? You know,
you turned away.
Many people over the years. Sometimes at this point, I just, when people meet me and they don't know my story and, you know, I'm wearing a suit, I don't look like what their vision of a federal prisoner is.
Right.
And so sometimes I just tell them the story just to see the reaction of their face.
And they all think you're making it up.
Yeah, they're probably, yeah.
They think you're like
people,
someone.
People think I'm joking with them.
Yeah.
It's like when I say I'm a stripper. People think I'm joking when I said I took my clothes off. But, you know, I guess it's funny. You let them think what they think, right? You know, do you ever have any contact with some of the old buddies in the prison?
Oh, I have contact with a bunch of my friends that got out, a bunch of people that are still in prison. I do a lot of this work. In fact, this last week was a big week because a woman I represented before the Washington State Supreme Court, who had 20 years of drug addiction and in and out of prison and had gone to law school and just had tremendous success, and then the bar denied her 6-3. And we appealed to the Washington Supreme Court, and on Thursday they issued a 33-page unanimous decision saying that the bar needs to quit excluding people and that this woman had proved that she had
the present character and fitness
necessary to practice law. And, you know, it was a full circle moment for me because she had read my memoir when I was in law school up in Seattle and came to see me. And I helped her with her law school application. And then I moved to Washington, D.C., and I just watched from afar as she just had success after success after success in law school.
Amazing.
That's fantastic.
Had problems with the bar.
Mm. You got to feel good about that. We have to take a quick break. I don't know if you have a couple more minutes, because I do want to ask you a few questions about prisoners' rights and criminal law reform, because I know you've been an advocate for that. And maybe we can spend a couple minutes after the break on that. The book is called Lawman, My Story of Robbing Banks, Winning Supreme Cases, and Finding Redemption. He's Sean Hopwood. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and you're listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is back home and doing well after being released this morning from Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Several days ago, he had a valve replaced in his heart that had been installed 21 years ago. Authorities believe there is no terrorist motive behind the deadly van crash in Munster, Germany that left two victims dead and others injured. The driver of the van shot himself to death after the attack. Police say they're checking witness reports that other perpetrators might have fled from the van at the scene of the crash. Deployment is underway following Defense Secretary Jim Mattis's approval of Defense Department money paying for National Guard personnel performing security missions at the border of the United States and Mexico. The missions will be performed under the command and control of the participating states. KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy this evening and mostly clear overnight with lows in the lower to mid-50s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss, because Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FINAL to 85850. Bosley is America's number one hair restoration expert, trusted by people all over the country and founded right here in L.A. Check them out now in Beverly Hills, Newport Beach, Westlake Village, or Ontario, and let Bosley show you for free how great your hair could look. Bosley uses the latest technology, and their solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FINAL to 85850. Don't forget, that's FINAL to 85850.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening. Shot a man, Reno. Oh, I'm Alan Gervie. We're talking to Sean Hopwood, associate professor of law at Georgetown University Law Center and former bank robber prisoner. Sean, tell us about the rights of prisoners. I know it's something really important to you. Reform. What would you do? How would you reform the criminal justice system and prisoners' rights?
Well, if I had a magic wand and can do anything, I would do two big things, which is provide incentives for prisoners to take meaningful rehabilitation programs, taking rehabilitation courses in return for shortening their sentence. And then two, I would open up prisons and allow for more volunteers to go in and teach those rehabilitation courses. One, because it's great for the prisoners to get that. But I find that it profoundly affects the people that go into prisons who think, much like I did and my family did before I went, which was, again, that's where all the evil people go. And then people get into prison and see, you know what, a lot of it's just people who made bad decisions for whatever reason. And I feel like that would have profound change on the country if more people went into a prison and taught a class.
Are there certain classes? Are there any groups that you work with for the rehabilitation?
Yeah, I do advocacy work with Families Against Mandatory Minimums, which does sentencing and prison reform, both federal and state here in D.C. Prison Fellowship, which is a religious organization that goes into the prisons. There are a bunch of schools that send instructors into prisons. And almost anyone can volunteer and go inside one and go teach a class. The problem is a lot of prison officials make it hard for people to go in because they don't want people to see
right.
the inside of a prison because they would see how awful the conditions are.
My friend works with Criminon down in Florida. Have you heard of that? She says she has great results with that as well, rehabilitating. So I didn't know if you had heard of them as well, but The rehabilitation, a lot of them, she says, have been like taken out of prison. Like they don't make room for it anymore.
They do. We just got into this place where we just want to punish people. But when you do that, you make it worse because people will come out worse off, not better.
Right.
And then when they can't find a job or a place to live and it's a choice between homelessness or crime, well, then people choose crime. And it's not because a lot of these guys want to get out and do that. It's almost because they're forced to.
Right. And that's a good point because people don't realize, you know, I have someone on the caller now writing saying, well, what about the repeat crimes, the repeat criminals that go out and then they go back in and they're dangers? People say, well, you know, Sean may be the exception to the rule and there aren't a lot of Seans, but maybe that's why there aren't a lot of Seans.
Well, I would push back on that and say I'm not a unicorn. I would tell you that most of the people I saw in federal prison had the ability to be redeemed. Most of the people, a very small, like 10% of people I saw in prison, I would say were so dangerous and not remorseful that they would be a danger to come out. Most of them, though, that do come out just don't have the resources because we don't provide them with anything when they do reentry. And, you know, you take someone and put them in a violent place where they're ordered around every day of their lives for 10 years and you provide them nothing in the way of job training
exactly.
or just personal skills. So many of the men I served time with had never opened a bank account, and then you kick them to the outside world and expect a miracle to happen, And when it doesn't, you say, well, see, you were evil always to begin with.
Mm-hmm. You know, and an effective psychological counseling and therapy also goes a long way to help out with the depression and the anxiety and the stress that these people are suffering from. Sean, we have to let you go. It's just fascinating. We wish we could talk to you all day. And, you know, another time we'd love to have you back on to talk about reforms and what can be done to help prisoners, to help people who are either convicted or accused of crimes. But for now, we have to leave it at that. Sean Hopwood, thanks very much for being on Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Wow, Carrie, that's some story.
It's amazing.
And I'll tell you that the guy sitting right in front of us, his story isn't halfway as harrowing as Sean's. And I want to introduce Troy Slayton because Troy has a very interesting story. Oh, we're getting applause from everyone here in the studio. Troy is a criminal defense attorney, so he can comment on that. And he's with Floyd Skarin, and I don't believe it's Kelly anymore, isn't it?
No, it's Floyd Skarin, Manoukian, and Langevin.
Wow. Well, I call him Langevin, John Langevin. I've known him for many, many years. He used to be with the State Compensation Insurance Fund out in the Inland Empire, and he is now a named partner. As we won't talk about, but Mr. Kelly is no longer with the firm.
No, he's not. But I just saw him yesterday.
Oh, you did?
He was just in Mr. Floyd's office.
Wow. Well, I know he's a good. He's a great guy.
He's a good friend of the firm.
Floyd Skarin, I know both of them. They are primarily, I believe, a workers' compensation defense firm. So I've known them for many years. I have a lot of friends who work there. Being an applicant attorney in workers' compensation, you know, I've worked with them. They're a very fine firm. But what Troy does is he is the managing attorney for the criminal defense division of this very large firm.
That's correct.
But what is intriguing about Troy is he is actually a former child actor. And we've had a lot of the child actors.
We had
Jeff Cohn from Goonies, who's a lawyer.
Who's a lawyer. Is he still at Universal? Jeffy Cohen, Chunk from Goonies.
Exactly. He sat right in the chair you're
right
sitting
there.
Wow, this is Chunk's chair.
That
and
was
Chunk from Goonies.
And let me say that Troy fits in the chair much better. No. Jeff is not Chunky anymore.
No.
Jeff is, and from Goonies, who was
Corey Feldman.
Oh yeah, Corey Feldman. He's a lawyer too, isn't he?
Yeah, no. I think no. He hires them.
You know, Carrie, that was probably one of your best lines you said in 5 years.
Thank you.
He uses them. She's saying that about her former boyfriend, Troy. Troy, I just want to let you know that Carrie did date Corey Feldman, not Corey Haim. And when Corey was on the show, I said Corey Haim was the good-looking one.
We were very, very young.
And then he told me that
young.
I looked like Greg Brady. But I actually loved having Corey on. He's a fun guy. So you were primarily Jerry Steiner. That was the awesome actor Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Yes, that was an awesome, fun, amazing role. In the early 90s.
And how did you do? And, you know, by the way, you talk about the early 90s, and I must say I didn't mention it, but I just remembered. My wife actually went to school with you.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, and she remembers you.
What? Wait, yes. but he went to school with my sister.
At UCLA or?
No,
at,
way back when. She remembered you. Yes. She remembered Hidden Hills, around Hidden Hills.
Uh-huh.
She lived in Hidden Hills. She remembered you. She said, Troy was one of the smartest guys I knew. He was brilliant.
Oh my goodness.
And he was a little nerdy.
Wait a second. So that means she went to school with my sister because Troy went to Calabasas with my sister. So,
well, then we're talking more about Round Meadow or A.E. Wright.
Yes.
I went to
Round Meadow was my elementary school, A.E. Wright Middle School.
Yeah. So her name was at the time Nancy Rosenberg. I don't know if you remember her. She was friends with Susie Tweeten and Elise Heron.
Oh, of course.
That whole gang.
I know all those people.
Yeah. So that was at Round Meadow. And then, of course, you did. Cagney and Lacey before. You were like 6 years old?
I did that from the time I was 6 to 13.
Okay, hold on. So you know Martin Cove, Marty.
Marty Cove.
Okay, so my boyfriend's father.
Oh my goodness.
And he was sitting in that chair as well.
Yeah,
so this is so weird.
Everyone has
people know him as, no, Marty Cove was more famous, even more famous than Cagney and Lacey, being a Detective Izbecki from Cagney and Lacey.
Yes.
He was Sensei from The Karate Kid. Yeah.
That's right.
Sweep the leg.
That's right.
That, and he sat there in that chair, and he taught. It was a couple years ago that he was in your chair. So, you know, it's amazing what a small world it is. How did you get into acting back then?
Well, I started when I was 5 years old. My very first job was a commercial with David Faustino.
Oh, wow.
Who went to be Bud Bundy.
Bud Bundy.
He was 6 years old. I was 5 years old. We did a commercial for the Revell Funster Funbird, which was a model car. And my grandma was playing cards at a card club out in Commerce. And she's playing Pan with some other old Jewish ladies.
That's funny.
And she finds out the lady next to her is a talent agent for kids. So my grandma says, oh, here's a picture of my grandson. He's so outgoing.
Oy.
And they signed me up and they sent me out and I booked my very first audition.
Wow.
And then within 6 months, I got Cagney and Lacey. So
that's amazing.
Rest was
that's
history.
Your grandma
did it. Your boobie did it for
my
you.
My grandma did it. Yeah.
Wait, so do you miss it? Yeah. Do you ever miss it? Do you ever think, wow, you well, know, I mean, being a lawyer is great, but.
Well, you know, I like to tell people that my 20 years in acting prepared me to be a lawyer, which being a trial lawyer is a lot of acting.
Right.
The courtroom is a theater.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting because I used to watch Perry Mason when my parents watched and I would watch The Ruins and they would say to me, isn't this a great show? And I said, yeah, I want to be him when I grow up. And they said, you want to be Perry Mason? You want to be a lawyer? And I said, no, I want to be the actor who plays Perry Mason.
And you did the same thing. You did acting and then got
We both went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. But he's a real actor. We were just pretend actors. We got to take a quick break. I want to talk a little bit about all your media activity. Troy is all over the media. He's commenting. We'll talk about DUIs and talk about some of the other criminal defense work that you do. And as well, you know, maybe we'll hear more about just as Sean talked about the prisoners back in the day, maybe you remember some of the Parker Lewis folks and where they are now. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Runny noses, time for a Target run. Stop by and fill your prescriptions at CVS Pharmacy at Target and earn a $5 Target coupon for 10 prescriptions filled. And while you're here, pick up a Kleenex 4-pack for $5.99. Get low prices on thousands of items today and every day. Target run and done. Up to $50 in Target coupons annually. Not valid on certain prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Go to cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. Prices may vary.
Your washing machine died. A puddle forms on the floor, sending you running to the home improvement store, where you see the stainless steel machine of your dreams. For a minute, you're glad your old washer died, until you see the price of the new one. And now you die a little. Don't let those big box retailers leak on your dreams. Swing by Rent-A-Center or go to rentacenter.com and get the big brands you want for small payments you can afford, all without credit. Rent-A-Center. Big brands. Small payments. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
And again, oh, it's working. I thought I was going to have a meltdown like I did at the beginning of the show.
I take over. Don't worry, because I can do radio without having headphones.
You can do radio anytime. It's funny because we got so caught up in our little Yenta discussion, the Jewish geography, even though, you know, not everyone was Jewish in it, Marty Cove,
right.
But he is.
But Marty Cove called after we mentioned his name on air, and I thought he was listening, right? So I pick up the phone right when we went to break.
Yeah.
And so, are you listening? He said, no. I said, we just mentioned your name. And then he heard the Cagney and Lacey music on his, oh, Bill Conti did that. He did Cagney and Lacey, and he did... not Rambo. What's the other one that Sylvester Stallone did? Some big movie. And he's like, he scored that too. I'm like, oh, that's great.
And Troy Slayton was actually part of Cagney and Lacey for many years. And then he did Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Now, what happened to the cast of Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
Is my mic on here?
Yeah, there we go.
We all did all sorts of different things. The guy that played Parker, Corin Nimick, went on to do Stargate, SG-5. Right. He's an amazing graffiti artist who does installations all over the world. Abraham Ben-Ruby went on to do ER. He was the big guy, Kubiak, from Parker Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
He was the big nurse on ER, and he's done a ton of movies. And Billy Jane, who was Mikey, one of the other best friends, he's a commercial director.
Wow.
And
Did you guys ever have a reunion?
We did have a bit of a reunion when the show went to DVD. When they did the DVD release, we all got together. We shot a few snippets together, and we did the audio commentary tracks some of it. So we all got to be together.
But nowadays, they're bringing everything back. I mean, now that's the trend. Let's bring all the old shows back. If they got all of everybody together and they asked you, hey, would you join the cast? What would you do?
I would jump up and down in joy. 100% yes, I would do it. Cagney and Lacey is coming back. They're doing a redo, but it's not like a Roseanne, where are they now? It's just the format being all
so redone. It's not going to be Tyne Daly and
Sharon Glass. No, it is two LAPD women. So it's not New York, it's LA. And
they're calling it Cagney and Lacey?
They're calling it Cagney and Lacey.
What about Roseanne?
I was in an episode of Roseanne. I was in one episode of Roseanne. The name of the episode was Brain Dead Poet Society. In fact, some of the secretaries at Floyd Skerrin came up to me the other day with a screenshot on their phone saying, I was binge watching Roseanne the other day, and here are you, Troy. We had video evidence, so I was a nerd in that, too.
Did they do that, you know, at Floyd Skerrin? Of course, if you're just joining us, Troy Slayton is a criminal defense attorney. Does other lawyers or people who find out that you were an actor before you became an attorney, did they ask you about things? Did they treat you differently?
I don't think they treat me differently. I think it's a cool thing to talk about. There's a lot of actors became lawyers. Stacey Keenan from My Two Dads and Step by Step. I was in an episode of Step by Step, by the way. She is a prosecutor. She goes by a different name now, her real name, but she is an L.A. County District Attorney, District Attorney.
It's amazing how Troy knows everything. He's got such a brilliant mind. He knows where everyone is. He talked about Elise Heron, what she's doing, and with Susie Fine. He corrected me. Those are people that he grew up with that are my wife's friends. He knows everything. And when you're asked on TV and the media, and you've been with Nancy Grace, you go, you're commenting on everything. How are you always in the media commenting on, you know, Ray Rice, for instance? That was, of course, and I think you got yourself in trouble, because I'm not sure that you said something very popular. You know what he said about
Ray Rice,
you remember, in the elevator,
hitting
his
wife, or
his girlfriend at the time.
Yeah. I said she wasn't innocent. She was, up in his grill, so to speak. She was, you know, in his face, and she was nudging him. And yes, what he did was absolutely wrong, but she doesn't have clean hands, like we say.
Well, I wonder if she had been hit before and knew that was coming. That's the thing. It's like, I understand getting away from being battered. It's very hard to get out of it. Very hard to get out of it. I know I've worked with people that, whether they're elderly or, family members that have been in that situation. It's very hard. But I don't, you know, it's like when you go and you do something to a very violent person and you know that might be the outcome, then you have some responsibility.
Well, that was the point. See, the interesting thing, and this is what I like about his commentary, is he brings out points that people may not think about. And you're just being real. I mean, it may not be the most popular position. On Oscar Pistorius, for instance, you commented on that, and that, you remember the guy who
with the
shot... With the legs. South African who shot through the door and killed his girlfriend, and they were talking about mental incapacity or incapacity in psychiatric evaluations, and you made the point of, well, consider who asked for it. Consider who brought this mental capacity evaluation into the court, and they said, oh, he's fine, he can stand trial, there's no insanity plea. And then you made the point, well, it was the prosecutors.
That's right. And, you know, I love to comment on all different sorts of things. I regularly appear on Crime and Justice on HLN with Ashley Banfield. I do Fox News, CNN, Fox Business. Anyone that's willing to put a microphone and a camera in front of me, I'm willing to talk.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to chit chat about anything.
And you have a lot to say, obviously. Ashley Banfield, of course, is from my hometown of Winnipeg. Very proud of Ashley Banfield. She went to private school, just down the road from where my nephew went. So anytime you mention something, I can make a connection. It's, now let's talk about Ethan Katkowski, because you were in the news about that. Do you know who Ethan
no,
is?
No, I don't know.
But I know
Ethan
you
Katkowski.
Know the show. You know the show Shameless.
Of course.
And okay, so he is one of the Gallagher kids on Shameless.
I've never seen Shameless. Don't kill me here. I haven't watched
Showtime.
It. I know exactly. I know who's in it. William H. Macy.
Right.
Emma, whatever her name is, the gorgeous singer. I know the cast. Like, I remember it, but I just never seen it.
So, he was a very good kid who was wrongly accused of something, and I'm glad I was able to represent him. And I was honored that he entrusted his case with me, and we got him a very good result. We got he was accused of DUI by way of marijuana. He was pulled over in Burbank by Burbank PD, and cops smelled some marijuana emanating from his vehicle, and they arrested him for DUI of marijuana. A lot of people think that just because you have a medical card or that you have marijuana and you're possessing it legally, that you can somehow smoke and drive, which you absolutely cannot, which he was not doing, but he was accused of that. And luckily, justice prevailed, and the prosecutors dismissed any allegation of drugs or alcohol involved, and he pled guilty to what he did was with a little a traffic infraction
violation. Mm-hmm. $250 fine.
Yeah.
You know, it begs the question, a lot of people who are listening now wonder, how do you beat a DUI charge?
Well, DUI is hard to prove in California, because but it's also very easy to prosecute. And that's a weird dichotomy, because in most crimes, the witness is a person across the street or the victim or a family member or somebody that was involved in it. But in a DUI, you have the police officer who has got his shiny badge and his gun and his radio, and he's a professional witness in court, and he's testifying that I observed this person, and he was driving in a serpentine manner.
Right.
And he had a red, bloodshot and watery eyes, and had the odor of alcohol emitting from his breath in person. And that might sound really scary, and a lot of people would say, well, then you're guilty. But they have to prove that you were so impaired that you were unable to operate your vehicle with the caution that's characteristic of a sober person while you were driving. So nobody was there in your mind. Nobody is in your head to know, because it's not illegal to drink and drive in California. It may not be the smartest thing, but it's not a crime to drink and then drive. It's a crime to be a 0.08 or higher.
Right.
It's a crime to be so impaired you can't operate your vehicle like a sober person, but it's not illegal to drink and drive.
It begs the question that Carrie always asks. Why don't you ask him?
What is that?
If you know.
What question do I always ask?
You ask every Tom, when Tom Mesro was here, you asked him, everyone.
Oh, if you know your client is, I do. Okay, I'll give it to you. He's right. He's got a great memory. If you know your client is guilty, what do you do? Do you defend anyway?
Absolutely. Because our system only works when we have good attorneys that are arguing for both sides and justice prevails. In our system, we'd rather 1,000 guilty people go free than have one innocent person suffer. And so that's the way our system is built, and that's what I try and.
But what if they're a repeat offender? That's another thing too. Like where they've been, this is hitting hard for me because my friend who works for me at Kasem Cares, my foundation, her nephew was just killed by a drunk driver last week.
Horrible.
Wow.
And she's out getting out. And it was like some ridiculous amount. She killed 3 kids in Huntington Beach. Mm-hmm. This woman, and she's getting out on bail.
But she didn't go out and try and kill three people. She did something that was reckless, and there are accidents that happen. People get in car accidents all the time, and they
But she was told to stop driving by people who pulled her over and said, can we drive you home? Three guys offered her a ride home. She wouldn't take it. They followed her thinking she was going to kill somebody, and that's exactly what she did.
And those people will be witnesses at her trial.
Right, and that's what the law is about. That's what justice is about. We have to wrap it up. You know, you're everywhere on the every commentator. Why is it you? That's the question I'm going to leave you with. Why are you the guy, the go-to guy?
I don't know. I started doing it when you know, somebody got in trouble a couple years ago, and it was an actress, and they wanted me to talk about it because I was a child actor. It was Lindsay Lohan.
When she
first started getting in trouble, and they brought me in E! News, and then I started doing spots for Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight, and then CNN, and I started doing all those things, and they kept having me back.
And now you're
and I kept doing it.
Troy, we love to We love to have you back. You're very entertaining, and you're very smart on these issues. He's at Troy Slayton. You can follow him at Troy Slayton. He's at Floyd Skarin, Manukian, and Langevin. You've been listening to Gervie's Law. Thanks very much for being here, Troy.
Thanks for having me.
Carrie, always a pleasure.
So fun.
Next week, we have Brad Sherman, Congressman Brad Sherman on the show, and Areva Martin. Areva Martin just came out with a book, and she's on CNN all the time.
I was on Michaela on HLN with Areva Martin.
With Areva Martin.
Yes. And I hear the Parker Lewis theme song taking us out.
Have a great week.
So cool.
Have a great week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.